The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
In a very busy first hour, headlined by a visit from the college football playoff president, Bill Hancock. Dan Wetzel, columnist for Yahoo, joining us in a few minutes. We'll get his take on the very busy week. And back to the calls right now. And Bobby in North Carolina. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, got a quick question for you, Mr. Feinbaum.
Sure.
With the NIL and the transfer portal, how does that affect the player at that moment? Say, you know, he got, like, I'm an Alabama fan. He goes to Alabama, has an NIL. All of a sudden, he's not playing as much as he wants to, and he wants to transfer, and he goes to another school. What happens at that point with his NIL?
Well, the NIL, I think, will restart wherever he goes. It may be monitored by the university, but that's an individual situation.
So he would just basically go to the other school, change uniforms, mm-hmm. and whatever at that point,
right.
Like a pro ball player.
Exactly. Now, it's essentially what he'll be, yes.
Yes, yeah. Well, you answered my question, but I got one more quick question for you.
Sure.
I hear you sometimes, and you seem that you'll get wound up, you know, like you do with Coach Saban. And, it was a great analysis of his undervalue. Have you ever thought about being a Baptist preacher?
Yes, I have. I have great admiration for ministers. I can't imagine doing what they do. I say that jokingly that I would want to, but
yeah.
I've had very good friends who are ministers, and whenever we've had lunch, I always quiz them on their techniques. And you probably related or in family with anybody who's ever been a minister?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Bear Bryant told his mama, he said she wanted him to be a preacher, and he told him that coaching was a lot like preaching.
Well, it is, but I've always been intrigued because I've had a minister who was once at a huge church. I'm talking about one of these mega churches,
yeah.
And he told me that he could literally see the audience falling asleep during his Sunday mm-hmm. sermon, so he would start to speak very slowly and softly, and all of a sudden then he would scream something, and all of a sudden you would literally see people waking up. That was a trick that he liked to play on the congregation. But you know, I don't really, you know, I do a lot of speaking, and it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the program.
I was in the car business and ran car dealerships. So stand up in front of a group of salesmen and tell them how to sell a car, and they don't think you know how.
No, I'm curious about that because I think to be a good speaker, you have to be uptight about it. You can't just be nonchalant. I've done that before, and
right.
it's usually
right.
So tell me what you would say to your crew about selling, because there are a lot of similar techniques involved.
I can tell you how to do it, but I can't give you the desire to do it.
Okay.
You have to want to do it,
right.
And you have to believe in what you're selling, you know, and you have to always be transparent no matter what, because it's easy to sell the car. That's what I told them. It was easy to sell it. It's 2 months later that you got it, that you need to think about, because If you don't answer everything correctly that comes out wrong, you're not going to have referrals. You're not going to be in. It's just not anything that's going to stick with you.
So, Bobby, you have to
make them believe.
You have to play the long game, is what you're saying. You can't just try to.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You can't. It's just like coaching. You can't go into a place and want to coach 1 year if you're going to be anybody, you know.
I'm working for you, and it's I don't know when the end of the month or the beginning of the month, whenever the heat comes on, and I'm a young salesman, which at least in terms of my job, I'm under pressure to keep my job because you're breathing down my neck as my manager. So how do you rationalize, or how do you deal with the pressure to please my boss to make sure I'll have a job and have credibility and authenticity with the customer?
Well, as a boss and in that position, I have to remember I was there once too.
Right.
And I always was very lucky to have a boss that put his arm around me and say, "Look, you're doing everything you know how to do and everything I've taught you, but I got something for you." And I always gave them a little something. You know, I might have a deal sitting out there, and there's no better salesman than after he sold that first one. That second one is like a breeze,
right?
You know?
Okay.
Because his confidence level is back. You got to keep their confidence there, and you got to let them know you care about them.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this too, Bobby. Yeah, it does. And the car salesmen that drive me crazy are the ones who are not efficient. Where you're heading out to see the car, and then he forgets something. And I mean, I don't want to spend all day at the car lot.
Well. And that's something I always tried to train too. Have 2 hours. And that's, you know, in 2 hours, if you can show the car, do your paperwork, and have them in the business office, whether they're just writing a check or doing the financing, then you've got a customer that's interested the whole time. If you drag it out to 3 and 4, you've lost their interest, and you may not have the chance to see them again.
When I walk in and you're looking at me, do you have a pretty good idea whether I'm ready to buy or not?
Yes and no.
Okay.
It's a two-way street. If you tell me right up front I'm looking for blah 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 blah, then that's exactly what I go to.
Okay.
I don't try to change your mind at that point to look at something else. Just because it's got a bonus. I look at it, take my deal that's offered to me right there in the front. Now, I'm retired at this point, you know, but again, that's the way I looked at it for 34 years.
Well, no, I would think you would know what you're doing. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I'm really interested, because that's always one of the worst experiences I have every couple of years is having to go to a car lot, because I just want to know what I want. I don't want to go for a test drive. I just want to see the car.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, you know. I may not make but just the minimum on this one, but then the next car, maybe you'll send someone else that they don't have the knowledge of what they're looking for that you are, and I may make more money then.
Right.
But
okay.
I still keep it transparent.
What are you doing now that you're retired?
I'm sitting on the deck talking to you.
I like it. Sounds like a pretty good life.
And then, you know, I always come up with these crazy questions to call in and ask you, like I asked you what was going to happen at LSU. And
right.
Then we had a good talk about Tebow and different things like that. Give me time to think.
Well, I tell you what, Bobby, I always enjoy it. It's really, I can't tell you, I love to find out what people have done, especially when you've done it as long as you did.
Yeah, and I was in the Navy prior to that, you know, and did my time there and very proud. And, you know, that's when I grew up, was when I was in the Navy in Beirut. Now, that's when you'll grow up.
Oh, my goodness.
You ain't grown up.
That sounds like some pretty serious stuff over there.
It was. Well, I just appreciate you taking my call and taking this much time with me. I'm sure you got more guests that are smarter than me, can give better answers and stuff.
I don't know, Bobby. I appreciate it. Hey, you be well, and we'll talk soon. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
How interesting. Didn't realize we'd be talking about buying cars today. We'll take a break. We'll talk about buying spots in the college football playoff in a minute. Dan Wetzel, one of the top sports columnists in the country, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Dan Wetzel joins us. We've talked to Dan often over the years. Remember, what was it, 10 or 15 years ago, he wrote the book Death to the BCS. I don't know if he's going to be writing Death to the CFP, but Dan, it's great to have you on, and I, as somebody who was at the vanguard of the BCS conversation, Bill Hancock told us an hour ago, or a half hour ago, it's not official yet, but the idea that we're even this close to a 12-team playoff, I'm just curious how to put that into context.
Well, they all came around to my thinking, Paul.
They did.
I don't mind a little bit.
They sure did.
They all came around. I heard a lot of things, a lot of chapters in the old book were repeated on the conference call yesterday. You know what? That book was all in good fun. Obviously, you write a book titled Death to the BCS. you're throwing yourself in there. But, there was a lot of establishment criticism of the book. And a decade later, here we are. They've embraced virtually all of it. Anything else they want to solve, I am available for, $1 million a year retainer fee. I can solve all of college sports problems. Maybe you can join me. I think we could do it together. I was hoping for an 8. I didn't want 12, but I understand how the politics work. I think it's going to be really exciting. Hancock literally said this yesterday. One of our big things is more games will matter more. And the concept of, like, you will lose that near do-or-die game between LSU and Alabama every couple of years is true, but you will gain, like, 20 more games like that each year. It's just going to be a little different. But the playoff will be exciting. The home field for that first round will be exciting. Winning a playoff game will be a big deal, and more teams will win one. It should spread out some of the competitive balance. It's a real playoff. It's not the four-team thing. The last playoff was designed by people who didn't want to design a playoff. So they designed a terrible one. It's too small. It's too boring. It doesn't accomplish anything. This is going to be exciting. This is going to rival the National Football League. It won't beat the National Football League in terms of popularity, but it is rocket fuel for college football. Overall, it's a really, really good thing. I know there's always going to be hesitation to change, but I have no doubt that this will be a positive thing. It may never change who would have won the national title, but that isn't the only part of what a construction of a playoff is. Some of the best parts and most memorable parts of the men's basketball tournament have nothing to do with somebody winning the national championship. Maryland, Baltimore County was never going to win the national championship, but man, when they were the first 16 to be a one, the whole country is paying attention. So there's just a lot that goes into it. These guys worked really hard on it. Listening to their answers, they went through a lot of the same deep looks that I had a long time ago done. You could tell they weren't just dismissing things. They had looked at all different possibilities. I don't love all of it, but again, we've come a long way in 10 years.
Dan, let me ask you about the Notre Dame part of it, because that got so much attention overnight. And the idea that you would actually utter the statement it's not fair to Notre Dame is laughable from a historical standpoint. Yeah. But what do you think is going to happen up there? Because, there are arguments for remaining independent, but there's also plenty of arguments for finally breaking down and getting into a league.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Yeah, they're going to stay independent. Look, what they gave up here is if they're a top four seed, they don't get a bye. The two times they have made the playoff in the 7 years, they have gone undefeated, and they have been the four seed. So if they go undefeated, then yes, there might be giving something up. But what they will be is the five seed, and they will get a home game against easiest thus opponent, and then they will play. So other than that, they gave up that home game for six possible at-large spots. And so all Notre Dame, I think, is sitting there saying is, man, if we are top 10, if we go 11-1, we're going to get into the playoff. And they will continue to control their schedule. They'll be able to play all over the country, which allows them to recruit all over the country, which is the only way you can get enough kids in the relatively small recruiting pool that are willing to play for Notre Dame and be good. As long as Brian Kelly's there, they could be in the playoff most years. So they basically are saying, we're giving up the chance at that bye every few years to get in, let's say, one every 5 years we would get a bye, but now we're going to get in 3 of 5 years. And I think that's a deal they want to make. And I think they look at the home date of that first round as a good thing. It's a huge money maker. And, I think the home dates will be the thing. So I don't think Notre Dame really got swindled on anything. That's what they had to give up to get this. I thought that was a pretty decent deal. I don't see Notre Dame joining a conference anytime soon.
Dan Wetzel with us from Yahoo. Dan Hancock earlier today on the show said that the championship games are going to be more consequential. And that's one that a lot of people are scratching their heads, because if you have two top four teams playing for the Big Ten or the SEC or whatever, yes, the winner gets an advantage, but the loser is still getting in the playoff. So can you address that part? I know you heard that yesterday.
Yeah, I've been saying for years that they should eliminate the conference championships altogether. They should eliminate divisions. They should go back to just running conferences and if you're going to have a 12-team playoff, find a way to determine who your champion is without playing a conference championship game. Conference championship games are ridiculous in a competitive sense because they're basically geography-based. So if you're in a certain part of your, you're in the SEC West and the SEC East is loaded, or vice versa usually, you get like the Big Ten West, you just get seeded in. It makes no sense. They always are talking about, well, every game must matter and everything must be competition. And then they create these incredibly unjustified ways to set up a conference champion based on geography, which has there's no point. You get no points for geography in a football game. So I would get rid of these things altogether. Now, understandably, people make money off it. They're going to get rid of them. I don't think they're more consequential. I think they'll continue to have problems. But if you really look at conference championship weekend and our memories of it get clouded by this one game or this or that, there have been tons of games where the loser can still get in. The winner can't get in. Teams that don't even play in the conference. There's one year Ohio State made it, didn't even play in the conference championship game. All those things, lots of meaningless games. I would get rid of them altogether. You want the regular season to matter more, don't give a bailout game to a team just because of geography. So all of a sudden that USC-Oregon game matters a ton. You're not sitting there saying, oh, you're going to get a rematch with them. So they never were intellectually consistent with that argument as long as they have these things. I'd get rid of them. I think they're going to become more ridiculous. I also just – look, their insistence on playing non-conference or neutral site games. Like, if you're Alabama, you go to your final four. You win the national championship. Your final four games are probably neutral site. Like, nobody's playing. You're never playing in Alabama. Like, it makes no sense. You're just adding this extra neutral site game that probably doesn't matter. Anyway, I don't like them. If that is easy to get into a playoff. And you have if it's that one year that Georgia and Alabama don't play and they're both 12-0, well, they're both getting in the playoffs, so who really cares?
Dan, before you go, I want to talk about a story that where we are has not gotten enough attention. I know you've written about it. You covered the Sandusky trial. But can you talk about what you have written and learned about the Schembech or allegations from his son? Because, I mean, we're talking about one of the iconic figures in college football history. And, you know, this is, I mean, you tell us. I mean, it's hard to get past the troubling aspect of this story.
It's extremely hard. It's a very, very tough story. And part of that is because almost everyone involved except the survivors are dead. So you can't get clarity. You can't let anyone defend themselves. You also just can't question them. Hey, Bo, what happened? What did you think? But basically, the Michigan team doctor, Anderson, would take you go in for a sprained ankle, and he would in some way sexually abuse hundreds of players through the years, to the point where it was he had nicknames. It was kind of a running gallows humor gag. And you got to remember, a lot of this was in the 70s and 80s, when there was just a much different understanding and level of enlightenment on these subjects. So we knew that, but the university came out with a report last month, but it was somewhat vague, and there were very anonymous players saying, I told Bo. Well, three of them came forward, two players and Bo's stepson, Matt, and they all said, you know, I directly told him, this is what he told us, and he protected Dr. Anderson, and unbelievably disturbing stuff, and almost impossible to fathom how and why, especially, I think, from a perspective of 2021, looking back. And it's really hard to hear the name Schembechler and think of Schembechler. And again, you know, one of the most iconic figures in college football history. And, you know, some of his speeches, the team, and the battles with Woody Hayes, and the intensity, just hard to look at any of that in the same way. I would suspect that as this goes forward, you know, their Schembechler Hall is where the Michigan football building is. That name will change, or the statue will come down, because I just don't know how you'd want to be associated with this. It's you can read more about it. This is a radio show. I don't want to get too into the details, but it's incredibly disturbing and incredibly disappointing when something like that happens. And I think about it. You look at Paterno, you look at Schembechler, you look at a lot of these different cases, and you just wonder how those guys were from an era where there's a whole bunch of coaches that ruled with iron fists and anything happened. And you just wonder, this probably has happened at other schools. Like, it wouldn't make sense that it only happened once, and then it turns out it didn't. And it wouldn't make sense it only happened twice. There's levels of abuse. But, you know, I'm not sure we're not going to look back on all of that era in a different manner as we get older, and we have time passes, and people kind of look and go, you know what? What happened to me at this university, even with this legendary person, wasn't right.
Dan Wetzel on the Schembechler allegations, as well as the CFP. Dan, thanks for making time. It's always great to have you on.
Always appreciate it, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dan Wetzel joining us. We'll talk to McElroy in the next hour and other guests as well, as we started with Bill Hancock from the CFP. More of your phone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, one of our regular compatriots is apparently on his way to bigger and better things. Tyler Horko covers the state for the Clarion Ledger. We'll start covering Notre Dame. We certainly wish Tyler well. He's had many appearances on this program. I've always thought he's one of the brighter young reporters in the country. I've had a chance to meet him a couple of times during our trips to Starkville, and we're always proud when one of our friends moves up to a job that will help enhance his or her career. Congratulations, Tyler. We will miss you, but we'll talk to you very soon about the Irish. Let's grab some more calls here and check in with Gary, who is up next. Hey, Gary, go right ahead.
Paul, good afternoon, Paul. How are you, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Paul, I'm 62 year old, and I'm a retired teacher and coach, and I used to live up in Pell City, Alabama. I know you know where Pell City is.
Of course, been there many times.
And I have one comment and two questions I would like to ask you, if you don't mind. My first comment is, listen, people don't realize what a great writer you truly are. I mean, you were a tremendous writer. I remember when you wrote with the Birmingham Post Herald. Do you remember that? I know you did.
I do because I was in Birmingham Saturday for Bill Lumpkin's funeral. He was my boss at the newspaper, and I just standing out there at Elmwood Cemetery with all these people that I used to work with on that staff. It was obviously we were saying goodbye to a 92-year-old friend, but it also reminded me of what a special time that was. And I appreciate you remembering because, I have a few books of my articles that I will occasionally look at, but I have forgotten those days for the most part.
I put you up there, and I hope this is not an insult, but I put you up there with Louis Grizzard.
But Louis was one of my absolute favorite people in the world.
Here's my two questions. One article you wrote with the Post Herald was a visit to Coach Bryant's grave. Do you remember writing those articles?
Yeah, and it's being at Elmwood the other day, I thought about that because where Bill was buried was not far from Coach Bryant, and I decided to do this, and I ended up doing it a couple of times. And the first time I did it, it was very controversial because a lot of people thought it was, I don't know if blasphemous is the right word, but in bad taste to go out and talk to someone who had died. But it turned out to be one of these.
They were great.
I would do it a couple of times, and I'll tell you a quick story. I went out there. I think Mike Dubose was the coach, and I did. I mentioned how I was in talking to Coach Bryant that he had given up on Dubose and had become a Steve Spurrier fan, and had and I got a call one morning from Spurrier, Spurrier was a voracious newspaper reader, and he was just howling about the article about how I said Coach Bryant, and I think Steve may have been a little gullible. He said, "You think he's really a big fan?" I said, "Well, other than the fact that he's been dead for 25 years, Coach, I'm sure he was." But it was really, I did a lot of different things in the newspaper business, but I think I was the first one to ever go out and talk to Coach Bryant.
Well, here's my first question. What would you say to Coach Bryant now about the Alabama football program?
Well, I tell you what, that would be maybe the most interesting, because it's one thing to go out there and talk to Paul Bryant about, and I ran this by his grandson one time, who told me that he found it fairly humorous as well, so I felt better once the family gave me the permission. But I think he would be intrigued by Nick Saban. I think he would be Nick Saban's biggest fan, because Coach Bryant, as you know, was someone who admired excellence. And I think he would have looked at what Saban is doing as simply spectacular. And I think that it would have been a tough question to be out there asking Coach Bryant, "Okay, Coach, here's the exit question here. Who's better, you or Coach Bryant? You or Coach Saban?" I may have to do that. I may have to come back for one more column if I can find somebody to publish that.
You know, I wish you would write a book about all your – you remember Louis Grizzard used to write a book about all his old columns. I wish you would do that.
Well, Gary, I did a book of columns – about 25 years ago, and then I did another one about 20 years ago. But you know, and then I did this book a couple of years ago about my first year at ESPN.
Yeah.
But I really, I swore I would never do another book, but
Well, you should.
If this career suddenly goes down in flames, and I may have to dig in, but I think you're right. It would be very interesting to, with a fresh perspective on Saban and Bryant that I feel like I have, having covered the end of Coach Bryant and obviously all of Nick Saban.
But here's my second question.
Okay.
What's going to happen with the new 12-team playoff when a 9-3 Texas A&M, Auburn, Florida gets in over an 11-1 Central Florida, Houston, Memphis, or someone like that? And I'll hang up and listen. And
thank you
for all you do, for
Gary. I can't,
for education and everything.
I can't tell you what your call meant. I never thought I would be delighted that somebody remembered the first half of my career. That's the thing that may surprise me the most about the playoff is that they did not come up with a what's called an AQ, an automatic qualifier, because I do think there will be a lot of screaming. But something tells me that if we see another scenario like UCF a couple of years ago or Coastal or Cincinnati, they will get in. I don't think the committee will be mandated, but I think they're going to be cognizant of the politics of the moment. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Didn't mean to go so long-winded on my former career. We will get back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back here on a Friday afternoon. Let's get back to the calls. And Goat is up next. Hey, Goat, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Well, let me try this again and figure out a way that we can actually hear you. Go right ahead, Goat.
Yeah, Paul. I tell you what, business is good at the Feinbaum Show. It's about as tough as me fighting a bobcat in a phone booth. nothing but a toothbrush. But, hey, so 12-team playoff, there may be 20 teams that can, you know, make the 12-team playoff. There's 120 teams in college football. Why not create a separate division where teams like Middle Tennessee and, you know, maybe Akron and so forth can get in and play for their own separate national championship?
Well, it's a fair question there, Goat. I think everyone wants a piece of the pie, though, and that's why – you know, the Power Five teams are doing what they're doing. There's just so much money. And if, you know, I'm not saying that the other playoffs that go on aren't exciting. They are. They're fantastic. But they're not huge money makers as the Power Five into the group of five, the group of five into the Power Five is. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out JC, who is up next. Good afternoon, JC.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? I want to talk about, like everyone else, the college football playoff, but I think that it can increase parity. Hear me out. So I think, like, especially for the top group of five teams, if you look at a lot of the kids nowadays, they just want exposure so they can make it to the NFL, which makes sense. And now if you expand to 12 teams, you have teams like UCF, Cincinnati. They're going to get that – you can get that exposure there, probably start earlier instead of waiting, you know, 2 or 3 years at Alabama, Ohio State. So it might end up helping those high-ranking group of five teams get better recruits and be able to compete a little bit more because those kids can see, hey, I'm still going to be able to make the playoff. Scouts will be able – they won't have to watch my game on some random network at some random time. They'll see me in prime time. I think it might be able to help parity for those group of those top group of five teams. I'd just like to hear your take.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, UCF would have gotten in a couple of years ago. Memphis would have gotten in. Cincinnati, Coastal would have gotten in. So you know, I mean, they don't have to have an automatic position in. They'll get in on their own. I mean, there is a lot of sentiment, And you know, that committee knows the desire to be aware of what's going on there. I'm not overly concerned about those groups. If they're good enough, they'll get in. Otherwise, they really don't belong. They shouldn't just be willed into it. Larry is up next. Hey, Larry, go right ahead.
Paul, I didn't know whether you was aware or not, but Jim Donner's wife passed away 2 days ago.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I did have a conversation with Coach Donner about Mary the other day, and it is such a loss. I'm glad you brought it up again, though. I think the service is going to be on Monday, and she just
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, what an amazing woman. I got to go to their house a couple of times and get to know her. And they were just an amazing couple. And what Coach and his family did supporting her these last couple of years was truly remarkable.
He's a super nice guy, too. And I enjoyed your show.
Well, Larry, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. I'm glad we got the chance to mention it again. Ricky, I'm sorry. Let me go to Matt next. Matt,
hey,
how are you? What's going on with you?
I'm doing good. I want to talk about the college football playoff. Paul, I think this is a really good process and they're coming up with. I got no problems. I'm okay with it. I'm pretty good with it. Because honestly, it's like you said, if those teams are good enough to get in the college football playoff, no longer whine about it. Just prove you're good enough to get in them and see if you can compete with the big boys now.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad that they're doing what they're doing, Matt. I don't think anybody should get in the back door.
No, I agree to 100%. And I want to talk about also Texas A&M. This helps us in recruiting even more because now we can get those more five-star players unlike Alabama and Georgia at Wars.
Well, Matt, tell me why you're so sure of that. Why? I mean, I'm not saying A&M isn't a great program. It is, but...
No, I know you're not saying that.
I mean, Alabama goes to the playoff every year. Why if A&M gets in there 1 year, they're suddenly going to start taking players away from Alabama?
Because if we can consistently get into the playoffs, Paul, consistently beat Alabama, that'll help us get more of those five-star players.
But Matt, you still haven't beat. I mean, you lost by 28 last year. I mean, do you remember that?
I remember that, Paul. My long-term memory has not gone away yet. My short-term's a little bad, but long-term's still good.
Okay, I just want to make sure because you talk like maybe we all missed that game.
No, I'm not talking like that, but I'm just saying if we consistently beat Alabama, consistently get into the playoffs, recruits will see that and want to come to Texas A&M.
Matt, I have to run. We are having a busy show. We have Bill Hancock on, who's the president of the College Football Playoff earlier. Greg McElroy will be with us in a few minutes. We've had quite a bit of conversation about the CFP with 12 teams coming in. Greg McElroy is right around the corner. We'll get his thoughts.